We're in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Betz. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Dalet on page 20. So we were discussing Chofni and Pinchas, Eli's two sons who misbehaved, and finally Eli rebukes them to some extent. Right. We saw these Pasuk, and we'll see them again, because there's much to discuss on Pasuk Chaf Chavhei in particular, Chavdala. So let's begin with the Pasuk Chavdala. It says, Albonai, know my children, did wrong. Ki lo tova ha-shmua asher anochi shameya ma'avim al-am Hashem. It's not good, the matter which I am hearing from other people that you're going against, and they're saying that you're transgressing the ways of Hashem. And we talked last week about maybe even if you're not doing it, but that's the perception of what people are seeing about you. And therefore, you have to be cautious of what you do.
Eli was the Kohen of Godot.
Right.
And he's basically the chief executive officer of his concern. Mm-hmm. Isn't he supposed to know what's, in other words, not get it secondhand from the people? Shouldn't he know what they're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to see in a few psukim that Eli is rebuked. This is just obviously not enough. Either, as you're saying, how could he have only heard it secondhand? What, he should have been more involved? Or, in addition to that, you can say, why only now? What happened up until this point?
So all the, it to the, this is like, and what brought it to this point? What was the, something had to have happened that it boiled over?
Right. It's possible, as in Pasuk Chaf Bet, which we saw last week, it says the Eli Zakin Ma'od Shama Es Kol Asher Yasun Banav. So he heard about all the things his children did when he was older, and maybe why then? Because people were maybe concerned as Eli is getting much older that people are going to say, you know, these two kids may take over the position, and so now they felt compelled to bring it to his attention, which maybe they didn't. It's a possibility. I'm not sure. It's something to think about for sure. So. Pasuk Chafhei, we saw Pasuk Chafhei, we just flew right through them, but there's major problems with Pasuk Chafhei. Let's read it. Im yecheta ish, well, ish, if you find that one person sins or does something harmful to his fellow man, upilo elokim, so what can happen? Upilo, as Masudah Sion says, that as mishpat, he can be judged by elokim, by the courts. However, if a person does something wrong to Hashem, mi ispalilo, who is going to daven on that individual's behalf? However, did not listen to the voice of their father, because Hashem wanted to have them killed. Right? So that's clearly a big problem. What does that mean? That they were not able to listen to their father's words because Hashem wanted to have them killed. So
going, listening to this, going back to Chafez,
yeah.
I mean, they did what the Pasuk says.
What does the Pasuk say?
The Pasuk says that they were having relations with women.
Oh. Well, how do we see that from here?
Because this is more than just not making the women. Hashem wouldn't wish them dead. They kept the women waiting a little while.
Right.
So they had to do something more than keep the women waiting.
It's possible that they were disgracing the entire avoda, the way that they behaved.
They, well, if they were disgracing the entire avoda, it wouldn't be beyond them to do even more.
It's possible. It is certainly possible that that this the fact that they deserved to die must be that maybe they actually did commit that sin, which is, as we saw last week, the simple explanation certainly is that that's what the Pasuk says. So, you know, calling a spade a spade. If we look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, we're in Pasuk Chaf Hey, yep. So Rashi says that Hashem already wants to kill them. Why? Rashi says, Shikmar Nechtam Gzardin. There's already been, their fate has been sealed. Of kodem shenechtam gzardin, before this case, before the seal, its fate is sealed, Nemar, the pasuk says, ki lo echbots b'mosa meisla, Hashem does not wish to exact punishment and to sentence people to death. But once there's a gemar din, at that point there's nothing else to talk about. And the question is, but isn't there an element of tshuva? Doesn't a person have the ability to repent? So this is what the Radak says. So the Radak focuses and emphasizes this in great detail, and actually compares this to Paro in Mitzrayim. So if we look in the Radak says as follows. The Radak that's Ki Chafetz Hashem Hamisam. Good evening. So it's the first, at least in this pack on page 20, the first medium-sized line, it says, V'chein v'chazek Hashem eslei Paro. Just like Hashem hardened the heart of Paro, so too, seemingly, he did the exact same thing over here with the two children of Eli, Chavni, and Pinchas, page 20. So then it says, V'atam, which is the second medium-sized line, the reason, Ki shiyagdil adam lachto, when a person grows up and grows and continues to sin, Iman hakel mimenu darchi atshuva. It becomes withheld from that person, from Hashem, the opportunities to change. Kedei shekabel oncho, and the reason is that they should receive some form of a punishment. Vanisharim yirubi yiro. So everyone else will see that you were punished, and in turn they'll fear and hopefully learn from your mistakes. Vav harasha shul harbi lechto. If you have someone who's a rasha, but he hasn't sinned to a great amount, nonetheless, that person has the opportunity, says the Radak, to change. Yifsechu lo darchei atshuva. Hashem keeps open the door, so to speak, for that person to repent. Imratz loshem, if he wishes to. Be'alav nemar, and on him is what the pasuk said, which Rashi quoted, kolech botz mos ames, that Hashem doesn't desire to kill. And that, rather, as the pasuk says, hashivu v'chiyu. Rather, Hashem should return, and then you'll live. V'afil yarba harash lefto. Even in the event that a person sins a tremendous amount, they still have a chance to do tshuva. But the Radak says it's not just a simple level of tshuva. You have a lot of layers that you need to cut through.
Not enough to say I'm sorry.
Absolutely not. If you're someone that has done it repeatedly, that it's become part of your essence, so to speak, that says the Radak, Im shav el Hashem, b'chol avavo. It's necessary, must be wholehearted, your tshuva. U'maru l'bnei adam gam kein teshuvas ha'shleim. That it's apparent to people that this is an absolute tshuva. Tshuva shleima, 100%. Then Hashem will forgive. V'oches aderech ha'tov b'chol nafsho b'chol ma'odo. That a person has completely changed his approach in life, in the way that he conducts himself, with all of his soul, all of his resources, be'emes tekobel tshuvas shleima. Then in truth, it will be that his teshuva will be accepted. However, says the Radak, so what's the problem? How come when it came to Chafni and Pinchas, maybe they'll do a tshuva shleima? Yes, they've reached this low level that they need to do tshuva b'leva of shalem, b'chol of avo, with all their heart. So maybe this is what's going to happen. So why does it say that Hashem just wants to kill them? So the Radak says, of abochin l'avavo seodeya, if you search into their hearts, you'll know, emes, v'rab ibn Eli, can look into his sons, ki lo hayu l'avavim shalem, that their hearts were not complete. There's no way that they were going to do tshuva. They could have. But by really looking into the matter and seeing their behaviors, there's a very, very remote chance that they would ever change. Because the only way that they could change is only if they would do this incredible, difficult level of tshuva. V'yafil yishmu l'kol avihim. Even if they were listening to the words of their father, v'yasur midarcham hara, and they changed from their evil ways, yada kilo yasezeh b'chol libam. It was known that they were not going to do it wholeheartedly. They didn't really necessarily agree to everything that was being told by their father. Okay, maybe we'll change, maybe I'll listen to, but they didn't feel that they really needed to change. Vikach, therefore, says the Radak, Shlo Yishmu L'kol Avihem, it was granted that they should not listen to their father's words, the Anshu of Yamusa Bar Asam, that they should be punished and die in their wicked ways. Kedeshi Omer B'ni Adam, so people will say, Rishayim Hayu, these were Rishayim, Ruyim Hayu L'onosh, Hazeh, this person, they deserve to be punished. V'etzdiku aleihem asadin, and therefore they deserved this exact punishment. And he continues discussing this. The next line is what Rashi said, so we don't have to repeat it. But this is actually something which was also discussed in Gemara Sanhedrin over Shabbos, that it said that David, when it came to the sin of Bathsheba, that the Gemara discusses in great detail, which we'll get to later on in Shmuel Bet, that the sin that he did was very, very, very small. And whatever the sin was, it wasn't really necessarily such a terrible thing that he did. Anyway, she was already given a get anyway because out to war.
Sent somebody up to the front lines to die.
So the whole discussion that really he was more of a malchus, he deserved to be punished anyway for other crimes that he committed. It's a whole discussion. But the point that I want to make is that the Gemara says that David wished to be Ovid of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that in Sanhedrin, that he wanted to worship an idol. And on this, all the Mefarshim, the Megillah Yisrael asks, what on earth is going on here? David, a melech. How could this not make any sense? This great tzaddik is going to worship an idol. So the Mefarshim say, he didn't really want to worship an idol, but he wanted everyone in the world to think that he was worshiping an idol. Why? What was the significance of this? Because they saw that when it came to David, that if he would do tshuva, and his teshuva was not accepted by Bathsheba, people would feel, look at this guy did tshuva, David did tshuva, he should be considered to be as a tzaddik, and yet Hashem punished him. Hashem is going to have him die. So, therefore he felt, it's better that people should not think that he did tshuva. Better that people should think I'm a Rasha. And then this way, they'll say, oh, so Hashem killed a Rasha. Hashem punished a Rasha. Hashem doesn't do good for the Rasha. And therefore, this is the same idea over here. That Eli, his children, if they did tshuva, it wouldn't have been enough. And they would have been punished anyway. And then what would people have said? People have said, what's the point? Why should I change? Why should I do tshuva? It wasn't effective for them. And I saw that. It seemed to me that they did a great... They repented wholeheartedly. They didn't. They wouldn't have. So therefore, because of this, better that they shouldn't do tshuva so that a person would not be left to believe that tshuva never helps. That's how some explain. The more simplistic way of reading this, which is the way if you read the pasuk, Pasachathe, it says as follows. The second half of the Pasuk, V'yishmu l'kol aviyem, ki chafetz Hashem ha'misam. It could mean as follows. Not that Hashem wanted to kill them, because Hashem would have accepted their tshuva. But maybe the way to read this Pasuk is as follows. That they used that as a rationalization to not want to repent. They said, we're Rishayim, we're worthless in Hashem's eyes. Hashem's going to punish us anyway. There's no point in us changing. The truth is Hashem would have embraced their tshuva. But they looked at it as though there was no point. They felt that they've reached such a low level, that hit such rock bottom, that they were never going to be able to be accepted. It wasn't necessarily that Hashem didn't wanted them to die, but maybe that's what they felt. And that's why V'lishmul kol avihem. They did not listen to their father because they felt that Hashem just wanted them to die, that they had no chance. And the reality is, everyone always has the chance to do tshuva. Alright. There's also the idea of the Radak over here is also, it's brought down over here in the English on page 21. It discusses this in great detail, specifically the words of the Rambam, which in Hilchos Tshuva, he says that, just read this one paragraph, which is at the bottom left. That the Rambam explains that sometimes people sin so frequently that God removes them from them the possibility of repentance so that they will be punished for their sins. Paro squandered his opportunity to repent. Suppression of the Jews so unjustifiably severe, and his stubbornness in refusing to submit after the first five plagues so indicative of the depth of his evil that he forfeited his chance to repent. Therefore God hardened his heart. See, another idea is that we take tshuva for granted. But tshuva really doesn't make any sense. We spoke about this on Shabbat Tshuva. That tshuva really doesn't make any sense. Because if We, if someone does something wrong, deserve to be punished. The idea of tshuva is almost an irrational concept, that if I do something wrong, God will forgive me as though nothing happened. So the fact that Hashem gives us tshuva is not something which is an automatic. It's a gift. Which seemingly, what the Rambam is saying, that Hashem doesn't have to give you that gift. If you don't deserve this gift, don't take it away.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you're forgiven. It might mean that, you know, you did something bad, and what you did was so bad that you really can't be forgiven, but you've done tshuva, so it's eased. In other words, you deserve a punishment.
Right.
Just because you're saying, now I'm sorry, you're not going to take away the punishment completely. Yes, you still have to get some sort of punishment
right.
for other people to see, because they can go ahead and do a tshuva that isn't full-hearted.
It's possible, yeah, it's possible.
That's what happens with in the law today. Somebody, commits a crime,
right.
and he apologizes, et cetera, but he still has to serve some time or pay some money.
Absolutely. I mean, because, for example, if a person murders, there's witnesses, there's warning, so there's a concept that the Beis Din will sentence you to death. Does that mean that person doesn't do tshuva immediately before? Hopefully he did tshuva. But the Beis Din is not going to say, oh, he did tshuva, we don't kill him anymore. We have certain rules. Sentence to death, finished. Hopefully he saw the error of his ways before we sentence him to death. And that will be a kapara completely.
Right.
And he'll
so
be...
it'll be easier for him when...
Right. So that's for sure. So the idea of tshuva does not necessarily mean...
forgiveness.
Right.
Total forgiveness.
Tshuva means going back. Returning to the way you should be. And that was apparently something which Chafi and Pinchas were unable to do. And, yeah. And the way, just one last thing before we move on, the Ralbag, you can see on here, it brings that also in the English on page 21 on the top. The Ralbag suggests that God impeded their repentance because they refused to accept rebukes. So since they're unable to accept any form of tochacha, any form of rebuke, so they're listening to their father, just words are flying out of his mouth, but they're
teenagers.
Yeah, they're not listening to what he says, so it doesn't really mean anything. Okay. Fine, let's move on. There's more to discuss. We'll see you next pasuk. Pasuk Chavav. V'hanar Shmuel holich v'gadel v'tov. Pasuk Chavav, page 20. That in contrast to the children of Eli, Shmuel was a young man, he was a nar. Holech v'gadol v'tov, he was going. Holech, gadol, getting bigger, v'tov, and he was good. Gam im Hashem, v'gam im anoshim. He was acting this way properly in God's eyes as well as in with people. So we see that he was able to have this balance of the mitzvah being on the mamakom, being on the mechavero. He was a good person. So what does it mean, v'gam im anoshim? So the Mesudas David, interestingly enough, says as follows. Mesudas David, the Pasuk HaVav. Holech v'gadol b'chokhma v'yiras Hashem. So he was growing in knowledge and fear of God. V'gam im anoshim. Says Mesudas David, shehoysa daitom u'revasim habrios. U'mekubal him, people liked him. He was someone
he was
that
accepted.
People was accepted, right. V'sam chukan lomer, this is where it gets interesting. Lomer shahayim akubal gam livnei Eli. Even the children, Chafni and Pinchas, as bad as they were, for some reason they looked favorably upon this boy, upon Shmuel. Well, why wouldn't they? Says Mesudas David, v'lo chashduhu shehuhu maybe dibasam ra el avihem. Unlike the way Yosef did about his brothers, they did not feel that he would ever rat them out or say anything not nice to their father, which is interesting. Like, so is that a good thing that Shmuel didn't report the evil happenings of Chafni and Pinchas?
The father knew what put his...
Right. That's what's the point of just...
filing it on.
Right. That's probably the idea behind it. So, that was the way that, again, in contrast of what we saw, we end this paragraph with the greatness of Shmuel. Let's move on to the next pasuk of Zion. V'yavo ish Elokim el Eli. So a man of God came to Eli, and Rashi says, who is this Ish Elohim, is an angel, a malach, what is this? So Rashi says, a very short Rashi, two words, Ze Elkanah, so this is the father of Shmuel. So, and he was, Elkanah, the father of Shmuel, was considered to be an Ish Elohim, a man, a spiritual, godly man. So he went to Eli, and now we're going to hear the rebuke that he gives to Eli. B'yomer Elav, he says, Komar Hashem. This is what Hashem said. Hanigoyla niglesi el beis avicha. Did I not appear to you, house of your fathers, biosam mitzrayim le beis paro, that they were avadim, it doesn't say this, but they were enslaved in Mitzrayim, in the house of paro. Don't you realize, and he's going through a little history lesson, as we're going to see, the idea, which he's going to speak about, is you have to have a karas tov, about all the great things that Hashem did for you. And this is how you repay him, by allowing this going on, right, in Shila. Rebacharo somikol shifte Yisraeli. And what does he do? He chose him among all the other tribes, mikol shifte Yisrael, but Kohen to be a Kohen. So you were chosen. You didn't have to be chosen, but out of all the Shlatim, Hashem felt that you would be the most capable of this position. Alos al mizbechi. That I chose you to go up to my mizbeach, my altar, and to burn incense, and to wear one of the garments of the Kohen Gadol, the ephod, the apron. As kol ishe bnei Yisrael. Didn't I give your ancestors house as Kol Ishe Beis Yisrael, all the offerings of fire to the Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem did all of this for you, for your sake. We look at the Rashi in the very bottom of page 20, which says, "Did I not?" Which is rhetorical. Haniglo niglesi. Did I not appear to your ancestors? Says Rashi, "Yedarchem ki hatova hazos." Aren't you not aware of this great action that I performed? Vagdol hazos nosatil aron, that I provided for Aharon, of course, is the Kohen, and
his successors
will become, right, will follow to be Kohanim, and you're obviously directly connected to Aharon, which we'll see a lengthy Rashi on the next page that discusses that more. So the idea is that where's your Hakaras HaTov? Where's your appreciation, and the way you're behaving, is not appropriate. Now it's interesting. I only thought about tonight that this pasuk says some things that the Kohen does. So he goes to the mizbeach, lahakter katoras. So he burns different spices and offerings. Lostes eifel lefanai. He wears the eifel. We know in this week's parsha that the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear just one extra garment over the regular four. He wears four more. So it's interesting that out of all of the begadim that are mentioned, the Bigdei Kohanim mentions the ephod. Lasseis ephod lefanai. What's the significance? Why is this thing? Well, to wear the tzitz, the choshen, what's the significance of the ephod? So there's a Gemara in Erchin that says that each of the garments of the Kohen is a kapara. Some forgives some type of avera, which Bnei Israel did. For example, some of them are pretty obvious. Like, for example, the hat represents gaiva, haughtiness. So a person, people who are the sin of bal gaiva, gaius of haughtiness, so the hat represents and forgives for that sin. When it comes to probably the most famous one is the me'il, the robe which had bells on the bottom, which makes noise, represents the sin of lashon hara, which also makes people are making noise. So therefore, that's another forgiveness. When it comes to the ephod, it's kapara for avodah zarah. I'm not exactly sure why, but nonetheless, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the ephod is a kapara for avodah zarah.
This would be a slap in the face. This is what the boys are really doing.
In which way?
that he's allowing his own choice. He's wearing the ephod, which represents you shouldn't have avodah zarah.
Right.
And here the boys are probably involved with avodah zarah.
Because what is avodah zarah? Avodah zarah is avodah, doing a worship, which is zarah, which is estranged. You're not doing the avodah zarah, is literally, it could be idol worship, but it means worshiping something which is against the way you're supposed to be worshiping, which is clearly what, I mean, they're doing. They're doing things which are against the way that they're supposed to be doing the avodah. So that could be the significance, as you're saying, of Allah says, Eiful the Fonai. I gave you this Eiful, which represents the proper. Right, it could be alluding to it, because otherwise it's kind of hard, and I didn't see anyone discuss this, why it specifically mentions that garment out of the other four garments which are given specifically to the Kohen Gadol. So that's something possibly to think about. Now,
it's interesting that the Pesukim back, we mentioned that Shmuel is given by his mother an ephod bod.
Yeah.
Specifically that garment.
Right.
That's very good.
So what do we see? We see the ephod. Hashem gave the ephod somehow represents.
And what isn't being used properly.
Correct. That's right.
Oh. This becomes sort of the hallmark of Shmuel Hanavi. That Shmuel Hanavi can give things or assign people roles, and if they don't do the role properly, he takes it away from them and give it to someone else.
I don't know if that was it, because he didn't give the role to
Ailey. No, but eventually it is.
But that's later on. But right now, we're addressing the problem of Ailey.
Right.
And this is a rebuke to Ailey. He says, listen, this kid who's in your care, he has an aphod and he's doing all the right things.
Right.
And here you have your own children, and the aphod that you're wearing is not being used.
You could almost turn it around and say that if an aphod is a beggar of the Kohen Gadol, then what business does anybody have giving Shmuel and Shmuel going around being, well, he's a kid, doesn't know better, but wearing an aphod.
Mother gave it to him.
Yeah, but why of that? You know, we using a kli of the Mikdash inappropriately is in itself an avera.
That's why we saw last week in the Masudas Sion in Pasuk HaPiyachas that an ephod is a malbush domek sas le'ephod shel Kohen Gadol. It's kind of little.
They go out of their way to say it wasn't really
an ephod. It's like a kid playing Cowboys and Indians. The gun he has really isn't a real gun, but it's a replica.
Right.
So I don't think what Shmuel was wearing was the real deal.
Right. But there certainly is some symbolism of him,
it's the, whole
the proper is, way of
this
doing
is what, so this really answers the question that I asked last week.
What was that?
That Ailey is doing all these things, and this is basically wrong. And at this, and now he's catching up to him, and he's being put in his place, so to speak. His kahuna is going to be, it's like a president at the end of his term. He's already judged.
Right.
You make a mistake, you're going to be judged with those mistakes.
Right. And we're going to see that toward the end of the parak that it's going to be getting a curse, a klala, that it's going to be taken away from him, and that his children are going to die as well as he.
As the Rashi before, learning about tshuva.
Right.
I mean, you know, he may have been unhappy with what was going on, but that isn't enough. He didn't take a strong enough step in keeping these boys in line.
Right. Right. He did a little, too little, too late. Absolutely. Okay. So, when we saw again, this was Elkanah, as we're going to now see the next pasuk, which is quite fascinating, that Elkanah, who really should, on one hand, give a tremendous amount of gratitude and appreciation to Ailey for giving this bracha, that he should have a son, but nonetheless, as the Gemara in Brachos that says, "B'makom sheshchil Hashem in cholkin kavod orav." There's a chil Hashem involved, all bets are off. So therefore you have to rebuke and say what you need to say, regardless of who you're talking with. You have to make sure that chil Hashem is stopped, and stopped quickly. Okay, let's move on to Pasuk Chaf Tes. Pasuk Chaf Tes is Lama Tivatsu. So again, this is You know, interesting that the pasuk doesn't mention who it is, but we're saying it is Elkanah, at least according to the interpretation that Rashi brings down. And he says, "Lama tivatu bezivchi minchasi." Why are you tivatu? Literally means, why are you kicking? Translated means, why do you scorn? The Masuda Sion translated as "Hu inyan bezayon." Why do you disgrace and humiliate us? The Mashal behema habuetas beragleha. And he compares it to an animal that kicks with its feet. V'chein v'yishman yeshurun v'yivot. That when it becomes fattened, the yeshurun, which is another term for the Jewish people, v'yivot, they kick. So, v'lomusivat, we'll get back to that. V'lomusivat v'zivchim in chasi. So this is Elkanah rebuking Eli. Why are you kicking and being disgraceful toward my zevach, my karbonos, minchasi, my flour, my meal offering, asher sivisi, which I've commanded to be brought ma'on into my home, my palace, my mishkan, v'techabed es banecha mimeni, and you have caused that you're honoring your children and more than me. Lahavri, how do we see that Eli's giving more honor to his children than to Hashem? Lahavri achem mereshis kol minchas Yisrael ami. Lahavri achem, Masudas Sion is Indian shumen, which by fattening yourself up, mereshis from the first or from the best of all the offerings which are given over ami to my nation. So therefore, what are you doing instead of you allowing me to receive the best, which is what you should be doing to Hashem? Instead, you allow your children to take this. And before we go back to the previous page, Rashi says on page 22, so Rashi says, quoting the pasuk, that the kabin es banechem mimeni. How do we see that we that Eli allows more honor to be given to his children than to Hashem? Says Rashi, "Eni ami, kavodas es bincha mimeni. Mahu akavod? What is this honor that is being bestowed to his children? Abriachem mereshis kol minchas Yisrael, that he is providing and allowing his children to have all this food before me. Kadma sudaschem usudasi, that he has allowed their meals to come before my meal. Kemoshin emar, as it says, gam b'terem yaktiru nesachelif, even before the fats were brought."
They took their share.
And how do we see this word, which maybe we've never heard of, lahavriachem? What does that have to do with eating? So Rashi says, lahavriachem is lashon seuda. We know that when it comes to someone who's an avelus, the first meal after they come back from the cemetery is called the sudas havra. Sudas havra, that's what it's called. And what does that word mean? Havra means a meal. So, but it's been adapted for some reason to mean the meal for a person who is sitting shiva, the first meal. But we see that that's the same root, lahavriachem, that you have allowed Hashem's honor to be completely pushed aside in order to be able to give to your children first, which is obviously not something which Hashem would really care about. But we do see something interesting about this pasuk. This is a pasuk we mentioned before, that the whole issue of what is bothering Elkanah and Hashem, for that matter, not in that order, is the way that they conducted themselves as far as their eating is concerned. That they took before.
By the way, that's what you were talking about the last 2 days.
About what?
Jim and Tamara. About.
Oh, yeah.
About eating. That how a person eats mm-hmm. and what he eats is representative of really what the person is.
Correct. True. Right.
Gluttony is,
right. And this is clearly, that was the way that they conducted themselves. They grabbed, they took before they should have. So it didn't fare well the way that they approached that perspective of their life.
Interesting that what you learned so, you know, between the Kamar, you yeah. know, quote
right.
from Shmuel.
Right. And, but that is how they act. They're acting like a wayward, like a Ben Soramora. They take and they grab food and meat. This is the way they conduct it. But what the Mefarshim learn out from this pasuk is what's missing. And that is what we discussed a little while back with the Rashi, which discusses, are we to take the pasuk literally when it says Asher Yishkabun, that they had lied down with numerous women? So one answer is, yeah, take it literal. The other answer is, no, it means that they delayed them from going home. So the question is, which one's right? Well, we don't really know the answer to that. It's up to interpretation. But it's interesting that if, in fact, what they did was the real bad thing, then why doesn't Elkanah mention it over here? He doesn't talk about it in his rebuke. He talks about eating a piece of meat. He talks about, as Rashi says, "Kon sudaschem l'sudasi." Okay, that's not a nice way of behaving. You should first allow the karbonos to be and the avoda to take place, and then whatever you're entitled to, you take. But it doesn't sound to be anywhere near the avera of Eishes Ish, you know. So therefore, some of the Mefarshim learn out from its absence from this rebuke, as maybe it's not literal.
It's allegorical.
Right. It's not to be taken as one may read it as face value. So that's one thought. The other point is that we see, this is really an idea which is brought in numerous places, this Rashi which says, "V'yishvan yishurin v'yivot," that it's the nature of people to kick at the point of v'yishvan, when they have an abundance of things. That because Chavti and Pinchas took so much, that was the reason why they were more apt to sin. They forgot God. And that's the reason why, I say many times, the unique way that we conduct ourselves at a meal is the opposite of every other religion. Every other religion, the focus is on saying grace, the beginning of the meal. When it comes to us, we say a bracha. It's not a Torah obligation to say a bracha. Our Torah obligation is after we eat, after we finish a huge meal. And what's the reason for that? Because when it comes to the beginning of the meal, to bless Hashem, it's no chiddush. I'm starving. Of course, I'm lacking. I realize I'm lacking. When it comes to you finish, I'm satiated, that's the time a person can easily forget God. That's what this pasuk says. V'yishman yishurin b'yivot, that's the time in which a person kicks, is when you're v'yishman, when you're full. And therefore, then we say, dafka, that moment, uberachta. That's the time we have to acknowledge and recognize the oneness of God. And furthermore, there's also one of the traditional approaches in Birchas HaChodesh, that it mentions the same thing twice. It's a famous word. The question, it says, Chayim Sheish Mehem Yerushimayim, Yerushayim. And then it says again, Chayim Shnei Bono Amastar, Yerushimayim. Why is it the Yerushimayim twice? And the answer is, because the two Yerushimayims, fearing Hashem, are the words Chayim Shel Osher Kavod. So, it's one madrega is to fear Hashem when you have nothing. When you're poor, you remember, you recognize God. But then, once you're zochah del chayim shel osher kavod, of wealth, then already you have to ask Hashem again, please give me your Shemayim, because it's easy to lose that level in your Shemayim once you live a life of chayim shel osher kavod. So that was the issue over here of Chavni and Pinchas in the way that they conducted themselves as well. All right. Such as the nisayon, the difficulty, the challenge, the potential challenges of... Well, let's move on to the next pasuk, the pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed says as follows: "V'cheinu am Hashem Elokei Yisrael." Therefore, this is the word of Hashem. Emor Amarti. We're going to see the reason for this seeming redundancy. As certainly said, "Beischa beisavicha, your house, the house of your forefathers, yishalch lefanai ad olam." Initially, I said that you, your children, forever, Ad Olam, will remain Kohanim. You're the Kohen Gadol, your child will be the Kohen Gadol, Ad Olam. I always was going to say that from this point on. From the time you, Eliyahu, were Kohen Gadol, all of your children thereafter would become potentially the Kohen Gadol. Yatan, now, Noam Hashem Chalili, far be it from me for doing such a thing. Because after all, Ki Mechabdai Yekaved, I will honor those who are deserving of the honor, who honor me. Bozai Yekalu. And those Yekalu, says Mesudas Sion, which is Hepuch, Kabbal, the opposite of honor, those people who are disgraceful and disgrace me will certainly not be deserving of of such honor. So since this pasuk is saying you don't deserve this position, unfortunately, it has to be taken away from you. Says Rashi. Rashi answers this question, a few different answers. What exactly does this mean, this seeming redundant pasuk, emor amarti? Why does it have to say the word twice? Say amarti, right? Or emor. What is the reason why I have to say it twice? So Rashi says as follows. Shnei pamim pasakti gedoyu levnei itama. There was two times in which I promised greatness to the children of Itamar. So as we know, Aaron had four children. Unfortunately, two of them died, right? Nadab and Avihu. So there's only two left. It was either, obviously, Eli either came from Itamar or he came from Elazar. There's only two left. So it's, Rashi helps us out a little bit. The B'nai Gershon of B'nai Merari Nemar says, Biyad Itamar ben Aharon HaKohen. Okay? V'Eli b'Mnei Itamar Hoya. It says that out of the two children, Eli came from Itamar. Zur Isi b'Midbar Shmuel. This is what's found there. Okay, so continues Rashi. Emor Marti Beischa Vesavicha. When it says Emor Marti, it could be referring to your household and Beisavicha in the household of your father, which means as follows. Mitchila, originally, this is the whole history lesson. Nasati kahuna gadola Elazar Kohen. Now, because it's an interesting question. If, in fact, Eli, as we just saw in Rashi, came from Itamar, we know that when Aharon died on Hor HaHor, that he gave over the garments, not to Itamar, but to his other son, Elazar. Shnemar, as it says, Vashovit as Aharon as Begadah, that he removed his garments, which is a tremendous visual. That's what he did when he died. He gave over his garments to his son. So what happened? So obviously, at some point, Elazar lost that right as well. So this is what happened. Maybe Legesh, when it came to the episode of the concubine in Giba, Shepokri Yisrael Barov HaMitzvos, in which the Jewish people had gone off the derech, and they violated many of the mitzvos. Umi Gorim Lehem, and who was the cause? Pinchas V'Kiyotzebo. Unbelievable. Rashi says that Pinchas, as we know, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas was the cause for the Jewish people to sin. What do you mean? What did he do wrong? He didn't. He was a tzaddik. So Rashi says, Shalilahem was saved ir el ir lochicham. He should have gone from city to city to rebuke them. And obviously he didn't do that. So since, even though he didn't do anything technically wrong, but since he, as a leader, saw people doing something wrong, and he needed to rebuke them, therefore, says Rashi, Nataltei kahuna gedola mehem, therefore was taken away from them, namely from Elazar, and was given to you. So that was the episode which caused Itamar and his descendants to end up becoming the Kohen Gadol.
You think that Eli would learn from this?
Correct. That's, you would think, but unfortunately not. But this is the idea, so far in this Rashi, of Amar Marti, that there was two sayings that happened. So the first, it was given over from Elazar to Itamar's children. Shimnei Itamar Ata. Because you come from Itamar. The Amarti, now there's the second Amarti. Yishalchu lefanai ad olam. I thought at that point that you would become and remain the Kohen Gadol forever. After all, sheposkin bo gedula l'adam, poskin lo l'dorosav ad olam. That once you receive this greatness, it's going to be given over to all future generations ad olam, forever. And therefore, you deserve this position forever. But obviously it was taken away, and we're going to stop here, unfortunately.